from the room.
Ladies and gentlemen, for those of you who are here for the affirmation meeting, would you please move to the center section so that our speakers can talk directly with you? Again, if you are here for the affirmation of commitments, please move to the center section. Thank you so much.
Ladies and gentlemen, good afternoon. We're about to begin. My name is Peter Dengate Thrush. I'm the chairman of the board of ICANN, and my co-presenter today is Ambassador Yanis Karklins, chairman of the Government Advisory Committee. What we propose to do is, first of all, take you through a set of slides which explain some of the history and the processes and where we are. And then we'll move forward into a discussion with the community about next steps. Where do we go to from here to make these reviews the success that we require them to be? Wonder if you could just rotate that for me slightly so I can see that. Thank you. Yes. Ladies and gentlemen in the room, we also have about 55, possibly now 60 people in the online room, and we will be making sure that they are also participating at the same time as we physically present are. So we'll have to work in relation to taking questions. Let me introduce Rob Hogarth, who's the Senior Policy Director at ICANN, who is manning the chat room and the online connectivity. So we'll be asking Rob occasionally to come forward with questions from that. So looking at the slide, we're going to work through the affirmation requirements themselves, have a brief discussion about the processes we've employed to date. We'll talk about applications for review team membership, some timelines, and we'll be focusing today on the first of the reviews, the accountability and transparency review. This is a major step for us in relation to achieving or seeking, I'm not sure we'll ever achieve it, much greater transparency and accountability. You'll recall that much of this work came out of the work done in terms of global consultation by ICANN through the President's Strategy Committee with the community under the heading Improving Institutional Confidence. And one of the major themes that came from that, which is reflected in the final report of the President's Strategy Committee, is the need for improving transparency and for accountability. Much of that work has moved into the affirmation of commitments, and we're now testing the transparency and accountability section. As you probably know, we're looking at reviews to be performed by teams composed of volunteer members of our community, some independent experts, and some designated members set out in the affirmation of commitment itself. An important point to note is that the board and staff are not involved in performing these reviews. Now, let's just put that in the right context. The affirmation of commitments is a major contract or agreement between ICANN and the United States government, and the board is responsible for making sure that its commitments under the affirmation of commitments are met. So the board is paying close attention to the performance of these and also to the subject matters that are actually being examined. Those were identified by the President's Strategy Committee as areas needing work, and so the board is developing a program to make sure that the work gets done so that when it is reviewed, it meets the appropriate standards. Just a quick reminder, there are actually four reviews: accountability and transparency, security, stability, resilience, consumer trust and choice, and who is. And today we're focusing on just the first one. There's some existing structure suggested or required, rather, by the affirmation of commitments. Looking just at the transparency and accountability one on the left, you see that it involves, as named members, the chairman of the GAC, the board chair, a representative from the US Department of Commerce, representatives of the relevant SOs, and some independent experts. So that's what the affirmation of commitments prescribes as being the composition of the team. And in the bottom box, you'll see that the GAC chair and the board chair are responsible for selecting that team. Now, we've had a process where a very good, in my opinion, set of proposals was put together by our Director of Reviews, Marco Lorenzini, who's here. Marco, would you stand up? I think it's appropriate that we acknowledge the excellent work that went into the proposals that were published. Responding to that were 32 public comments that raised, in general, issues under these headings, and we may come back to some of these when we discuss next steps. Comments about the methodology to be adopted, the timeline, the size and composition, the voting rights of Yanis and I, the independence of the review teams, the support that would be provided those teams, should the ICANN staff be supporting this or should something independent be arrived at? And when we talk about the public interest, what do we mean? So where are we? Well, we've had a discussion paper. It's gone out. We have no plans to rewrite that. The comments that came in raised issues around it. The review teams are going to use that original proposal and the public comments for their purposes. The trend seems reasonably clear that the review teams themselves will decide their methodologies. They will select what is appropriate, depending on each of the reviews, as necessary by way of tools and indications. They will decide with assistance in relation to what kind of staffing they require, what data analysis they're going to perform, and so on. We've had a substantial coordination with the support organisations and the advisory committees in relation to memberships, because that's where the memberships need to come from. Considerable time pressure imposed on the entire review. It has to be completed, so we had to start quickly. We've extended the time as a result of requests from the community. We've got in candidates. We're in the process now of processing their applications. And as of last night, when the period for nomination or application closed, this was the breakdown of candidates. 24 have applied. They come, as you can see, from the at-large, the CCNSO, the Government Advisory Committee, and the GNSO. If you're interested, a further breakdown shows them by country, Europe, Asia-Pacific, Latin America, North America, and Africa. Bottom right-hand corner, you see the gender breakdown, five women and 19 men. Further discussion then about the timeline. I don't think we need to have that. We now are in the process of establishing the review teams, and with luck, we will have that. If Yanis and I can carry on the cooperation that we've started in the same way, we hope to have that to be announced at the board meeting on Friday. So that brings us up to date, and we now come to you for community discussion and questions about next steps. So I'll ask Yanis then to lead us in the discussion. If you want to say anything else about the process to date, Yanis, do. Next steps.
Yeah, no, thank you, Peter. I wanted maybe to come back a little bit and to answer to some criticism that I heard from different quarters on a couple of issues during the process, and namely that the review methodology and the call for applications at one point went in parallel. And it was the call for applications was perceived as an attempt to prejudge the outcome of public consultations on draft methodology. And I must tell you that it has never been intended to prejudge anything in public comments on proposed methodology. Rather than taking into account the time constraints, we felt that it would be useful to publish this call for volunteers as early as we could, and if you read very carefully the text of this call for proposals, it did not allude neither to size of the team, nor composition of the team, nor proportions between different constituents of the team. So this was done intentionally simply to speed up the process. And the process now showed that supporting organizations, advisory committees, needed more time to think through and to propose names for these review teams. I think, Peter, it would be useful to, before the launch, the debate and answering, collecting comments and questions, to say that during the comment period, it became abundantly clear that the proposed size of the team, 6 to 8 members for accountability and transparency team, is far too little. And we have had several discussions with Peter, and we're looking in the range of 12 to 15 members for this team. And we would be very willing to hear your comments, whether you think that this is the right size and right these are right numbers.
Let me give you an insight into the dynamics of our discussion. I'm the mean one, because every person we add to the team is going to make a significant impact to the budget. We're going to have to move these people around. We're going to have to provide them with services. I also share the view of the staff paper that a smaller team is going to be more efficient. And Yanis and I are working through those issues. Obviously, greater geodiversity, gender diversity and skills is a countervailing factor. Where we get the balance between that, you know, we haven't yet decided. But we will. The other thing that may affect that, of course, is the skill sets of the team members themselves, and we've only just started being able to look at that now that the application process is closed. So that's a very live debate between Yanis and I at the moment, and I suppose it would be quite good to hear from the people online, if there is somebody, Rob, or from the floor, whether there's some further input. And please, if you've already made a public comment, don't repeat it. We have read the public comments, and we understand the point. We're looking for taking that issue a bit further. Rob, somebody online.
Yes, and I'd quickly observe, Peter, that we pretty much have an even distribution. We have about 75 people here in person and 77 people online right now. Eric Bruner-Williams asks, has the issue of whether or not the NOMCOM makes appointments been resolved? And if so, what is the resolution of the question?
Yeah, I think that there isn't a problem. The call for volunteers was for everybody, and until yesterday, everybody could make nominations. As we see today, NOMCOM hasn't done it. And therefore, there will not be NOMCOM representative in the team.
Just a quick gloss on that. The actual affirmation calls for members of the volunteer community coming through from the ACs and the SOs, and the NOMCOM is neither an AC or an SO. So there's a short technical response. Somebody from the floor.
Thank you. As there is a big trouble with people to take the notes and speaking in English and in French, we'll do it in English, importantly. Sébastien Bachelet from France. I'm speaking on my own behalf. I have one question. Is the pie of the candidates for this review team, you put that there from ALAC, GNSO, CCNSO, is it that they are willing to be put by those groups, or is it they are already supported by those groups? Because I think it's a different issue, because you can have somebody claiming that they want to be supported, or if they are supported, it's something different. The other point I want to make, it's just a little procedural question, that now you think that it's not 8, but it must be 12 or 15. Don't you think that it could change the position of some people to be candidates? Thank you very much.
Sébastien, thank you for those two questions. Let me ask Marco to respond in relation to the mechanics of team of member applications and authentications.
So the deadline has expired yesterday night at midnight UTC. So at this stage, out of those 24 candidatures, only three have been supported. They are the three that have been supported immediately by the GAC. So all the other candidatures have been transmitted to the relevant supporting organizations and advisory committees, and they have until the 17th of March to decide whether they want to endorse those candidatures.
Thank you, Marco.
Answering Sebastian's second question, as I said earlier, when we made a call for nominations, we never alluded to potential number, because it was felt that it was, would be community who should, let's say, define the size of the team. The comment period on draft methodology ended 17th February. And in these comments, it was absolutely clear that the team would be not, as suggested, 6 to 8, but rather bigger. Numbers were mentioned went up to 30. So therefore, I don't think that if initial proposal would say 12, 15, we would have more candidates. So it is just a pure speculation.
Rob, should we go to the online room? Nothing right now. Let's come to you, sir.
Alan Greenberg. It's encouraging to hear that in light of the various comments, you have reconsidered the size of the team. It would be incredibly useful to the various ACs and SOs to know how many members they will have on the team prior to their making this selection. Are we likely to have that information?
Sorry. How many... From each
Well, the original proposal called for instance, one GNSO rep. If you're increasing the size of the overall team, presumably some of those will go from one to some higher number. It will be good to know what that number is prior to us submitting our endorsements.
Why? We're going to be selecting people, not slots.
Because we will have to select amongst people, and our results may well be different if we know we're only going to have one, or if we know we will have two, for instance.
Yes, I think we have a misunderstanding. We've asked for nominations. We're not going to be looking at the people. We're not going to be...
No.
We can come back to that one.
Can I help?
Yes, please.
Okay, so, Chris Despain, I think the point is this, and perhaps the easiest example is the... well, actually, the ALAC will do as an example. So there are 8 people who have put their names forward. You are now asking, as I understand it, the ALAC to endorse or otherwise those 8, some or all of those 8 people. Now, if the ALAC knows that you only require one person, they might endorse 2 or 3. And if they know that you require 2 or 3, they might endorse 4 or 5. So what you're actually asking them to do is to endorse a number of those. They may decide, for example, only to endorse 2. Then what?
I don't understand the game playing. We want you to endorse all of the candidates. Why would you not endorse all of the candidates coming forward from your group?
Well, in many cases, in excess of 50%. The members who are seeking endorsement from the At-Large Advisory Committee are unknown to us in any way, shape or form beyond us receiving their CVs and letters when Marco has sent them to us. So we're going to be going through a process where we are endorsing people based on a set of criteria that we as internal ACs have to develop and defend to our communities. Now, if we're getting one person... then that makes a vastly different checklist and prioritisation for our endorsement process. There is no system that we had in place to say anyone of the billions of people who wish to put in their bid to be appointed and they would like to represent at large. There was no pre-existing system for us to have that done. Therefore, the information on 1 or 2
is
very important. And that was my point.
My misunderstanding, we just assumed that you would relatively easily know who all of your community members were and be able to provide an authentication for all of them straight away. So thank you for the question. I understand. Rob, online? No, let's go to Chris.
I just want to make one point. The chair of the GNSO, me as chair of the CCNSO and the chair of the ALAC have actually written formally to you. To raise a number of points, only one of which I'd like to address now, and that is that each of us has our own extremely well-worn and extremely difficultly put together process by which we find people to do stuff. And to have imposed upon us a completely different methodology, which totally negates, in our case, for example, our bylaws, just doesn't work for us. There are many reasons why you only have one nomination from the CCNSO, but the main reasons, one of those reasons is because we could not do what needed to be done in the process that you put forward. We can sit down on Wednesday and say, do we endorse that person? Not a problem. But that's not the point. The point is that we have well-worn regional geographic methodologies that we have in place, and this process has effectively abrogated all of those.
Thank you, Chris. Perfectly understand, because I'm wearing the same hat as you do for the GAC. And I have exactly the same concern to ensure all the balances, geographic, gender, and so on. But the group itself also has to carry the same balances. And this is a little bit a sort of cooperative approach, if you want, to get to the right composition which ensures all balances. I would hate, for instance, to see that all SOs, ACs endorse two or three males coming from developed countries.
Sure.
So, but somebody needs to take this responsibility and to see that these balances are in place in the entire group from one side and from other side, to see whether skills of the people in the group as a group corresponds to the task this group is supposed to do. So, and I understand from the affirmation of commitment that is task of selectors, and then our choice will be put for public comments, and that is how we understand endorsement by the SOs, ACs, the list. This is according to affirmation of commitments. The list will be a place for public comments, and when it will be endorsed, then it will be final.
Okay. Now, one more thing. I don't want to take this too much further, because there's not much to be achieved by it. Thank you. I acknowledge that. The only point I would make is that the affirmation of commitment doesn't provide any of the detail. You can make some assumptions, and I accept that. And one of those assumptions is quite clearly that the selectors select. I accept. But I think there is therefore a clear misunderstanding, if you can have such a thing. We think that we are supposed to support, endorse, whatever, representatives of our SO or AC to be part of this review. And we think it's our job, because we do it all the time, to work out regional balances and gender balances and the skill set. It's no different in some respects to our decision about who we put on the board. We look at a whole heap of things and make our decision. And we're more than capable of doing that, and we would have been more than capable of doing that within the very tight time frame had we been asked.
Thanks, Chris. Just two quick responses. I think there is a distinction between representatives and that go through your standard process, and this, which has been treated as an authentication process of volunteers. So I think we need to clarify which we all want, which is going to be the best for us. And the second point is, there's a hell of a lot of these reviews, and they're going to be coming up all the time. So we thank you for helping us get this one right. Let's try and get it right for the next ones. Rob, somebody online.
Thank you, Jamie. I actually have two questions that are relatively quick, so I'll read them in order and you guys can address them. Christina Rosette asks, where other than the ICANN website was the call for volunteers published? I've been asked and don't know the answer. Thanks. The second is from Jeff. Is there a list of all those that volunteered?
Well, let's turn to Marco to answer both those questions. Where was the call officially published? I know it was unofficially distributed by lots of people.
Yeah, it was published on our website.
Thank you. And Jeff's question, are we going to publish the names of all of the applicants?
I think this is the intention. We announced it already in the call for volunteer applicants that all applications will be published, complete, including the letter of motivation and the curriculum vitae. And in the case of GNSO, as GNSO requires further details, we can publish also those further details.
Thank you. Let's go this side, Steve.
Thank you, Peter. Jonathan? You mentioned earlier that you were considering some flexibility at increasing the size of that first team, and I think that makes sense. So I assume by that that you read flexibility in the affirmation of commitments with regard to the enumerated section of who and from each SO and AC and representatives. You indicated that you were going to try to pay attention to diversity and balance, but my particular question is the kind of balance we want to maintain. For instance, if we were to add another GAC or governmental rep to the first team, would we also add one more for each of the SOs and ACs as the affirmation agreement calls for?
There is no flexibility in relation to what's enumerated in the AOC, but there is flexibility between Yanis and I in arriving at our selections. I'm not sure that we would do it on a strict pro rata basis. It depends on, at this stage for me personally, it's going to depend on the skill sets that are coming through from the volunteers.
All right. They may ask a follow-up then, not with respect to the team size, but I think I heard earlier that the comments that came in from many of us on, for instance, I did some expansion of defining public interest and tried to suggest some definitions for that. I think you said that those comments will be passed along to the review team for them to deal with, for them to decide whether and how to regard those as they come up with their terms of reference. But the public interest definition that several of us focused on is more than just the first team. Global public interest shows up on paragraph 4 of the AOC long before we get into the four review teams. So it's a term that will affect the work of all the teams. And so shouldn't we try to deal with a lot of our suggestions at defining public interest before the first team starts, rather than letting the first team sort of pave the way?
Do you have a suggestion on the process, how this discussion could be carried out, and what would be the weight of that discussion? Yeah, and the timeline.
Not wanting to delay in any way the work of the first team, here's one idea. Since public interest is a cross-cutting is what we say all the time at IGF, right? It's a cross-cutting theme across all the review teams. Let's in parallel, while they're beginning their terms of reference on team one, let's in parallel launch a period where we try to define for ICANN, for all teams, what we think global public interest means. There was a lively debate on that in the comments that came in, and surprisingly, a few people even agreed with me. So I think we could potentially do that in parallel and then feed that into that first team so it comes from community-wide.
Would the kind of cross-constituency working group, an ad hoc working group, would be the solution?
I think that's the usual solution around here, so I suppose so.
Thank you.
Oh, this is Jamie Wagner. I would like to your considerations about the value of endorsement by the SOs. As I understood from Yanis' explanation, there will be a pre-endorsement period and a post-endorsement period after the selectors decide. But I would like your comments on the pre-endorsement period. Will the names put by the SOs be the selectors will choose them, or they will not count on the pre-endorsement?
No, I understand that pre-endorsement is done only by the GAC, that other constituencies haven't had followed this endorsement procedure before the nominations. All these names which have been put forward, they are individuals who are acting, who have put forward those names and indicating that they would represent that and that constituency. So in the GAC, we adopted a method of non-objection when information was passed on to the email address indicated in the call. It was copied also on the GAC mailing list, and nobody objected, and automatically the person or the name or candidate has been endorsed. So whether all GAC endorsed candidates will be in the review team, I don't know. That's a subject of our discussion and the selection process. But and after that, according to AOC, we will publish that for public comments, our proposal and endorsement for the community, for the SOs and ACs.
I'm asking for the, well, GNSO also has put on a process of pre-endorsement and selection of names to endorse. And I think my question is, how is, with respect to GNSO, how will the list be considered by selectors?
With utmost care and consideration. So, you see, this is slightly, we cannot say how you will be running. So we will be talking tonight, we will be having debate, we will take all applications, we will read them carefully, and so as a result we will come up with a proposal. I don't know what chemistry will be. Maybe we will not come up with a proposal tonight. Maybe we will sort of punch each other in the face without agreement. You know, it's hard to say. Sorry, we cannot answer. At least I cannot answer that question.
Thanks for the sincerity.
What I can add to this is, I think there was a very good, one of the public comments said, please would we explain the selection thinking? And I think we should try and do that very clearly, so that we won't just announce winners and losers. What I hope we will be able to do is explain why the people who have been selected have been selected and why the people who haven't. So perhaps that may be time to pick up your point.
It still doesn't answer my question of the value of the pre-endorsement by the GNSO, at least. We are doing a job. We are taking hours. And I didn't see in your answer the kind of consideration that will be done to this pre-endorsement by the GNSO, at least.
Okay. Can I just have an indication about the topics that you want to talk about? Are we still on size and composition?
C'est la même question. Alors, un nouveau sujet, les autres sujets. Alors, nous sommes presque à la fin de cette session. Et le premier commentaire, c'est ce qu'on vient de poser. J'ai interprété cette question sans les noms avant d'avoir l'endorsement. Est-ce que vous allez considérer les si ou non? Ça, c'est la différence entre le pré-endorsement. Alors, les instructions de Marcas à nous, c'est la considération à donner aux personnes qui viennent d'Alac ou l'endorsement de communauté. Alors, j'aimerais savoir, est-ce que c'est vrai, cette hypothèse? Oui, c'est vrai. Merci. Deuxième question qui peut être unique à travers l'image là. Nous sommes le seul groupe qui ne sait pas, non pas Jalak, Geoffrey, Mary, etc. 50%, nous ne les connaissons pas. Alors c'est très important parce que nous aimerons savoir et est-ce que nous pouvons intégrer, est-ce qu'on peut endorser 50%? Quels sont les messages, comment et surtout considérant la communauté? Alors, ça c'est Alak, je ne sais pas si je vais vous aider. Alors, la prochaine question. Est-ce que j'ai bien suivi qu'il y a une hypothèse quand nous allons avoir l'endorsement selon les demandeurs ou bien, ou dans notre cas, qui veulent se représenter à l'AC? Alors, c'était difficile. Alors, nous avons besoin de la savoir et surtout pour les séances de demain. Et suite à ce qu'on a dit, c'est juste une réaction, et surtout concernant les suppositions. Est-ce que nous avons, si nous avons les candidats qui sont prêts à être impliqués, et parce que ces personnes nous représentent et qui peuvent parler de notre part. Et nous ne savons pas les règles, et surtout concernant la confidentialité. Et peut-être pour, et il y a les représentants qui ne peuvent pas parler de notre part. Alors, j'aimerais que vous compreniez notre situation. Et pour moi, c'est juste un cas différent avec la communauté volontaire et surtout les membres qui sont connus comme membres non inexistants. Et comme ça, ils sont volontaires et ils peuvent être membres. Et il y a les personnes qui n'ont pas participé en ça d'ICAN dans notre liste. Alors, est-ce que je deviens éligible en devenant membre d'ICAN? C'est tout ce que nous devons considérer. J'ai peut-être compris deux questions qu'on vient de poser. Et j'ai constaté que par rapport à ce que Marcas a préparé, il y avait une indication concernant les choix et il y avait le pré-endorsement. Et pour moi, c'est très important et je vais considérer ces indications et les considérations. Alors, juste commentaire, et je vais soutenir l'idée d'intérêt public et ce qui est utile pour eux. Et peut-être nous allons résoudre cette question et peut-être quelques mois et pour avoir le point important. Alors, juste pour dire commentaire, le GNSO, c'est un mécanisme basé et surtout la communication entre nous et on a besoin que nous décidions qui vont être nos représentants. Nous allons avoir six noms à vous présenter et nous avons 10 candidats. Alors pour nous, notre supposition, c'est pour dire que les 4, nous n'allons pas vous donner ces noms. Est-ce que ça va avec vous? Juste pour éclaircir, alors parce que nous devons le faire. L'autre, nous avions une réunion, les qualifications et a donné des différences entre les applications. Peut-être il y a les personnes qui disent que je m'intéresse de ce qu'on va faire plus tard et peut-être on cible et la transparence, etc. Vous n'avez pas des organes qui peuvent faire qui peuvent être responsables. Alors, juste pour éclaircir, c'est votre intention de faire un appel et surtout pour les prochaines rondes, et parce que nous n'étions pas vraiment, nous ne savons pas cette question. Alors, je vais donner les éclaircissements et surtout avec les autres revues. Et je viens de technologie compétitive. Ici, c'est la sélection des thèmes avec la responsabilité. Et j'ai une préoccupation, le processus qui existe et ce que nous avons besoin, c'est non pas de définir les matrix, mais réévaluer les objectifs pour les équipes et qui vont passer à l'examen. Et la communauté, dans chaque cas, on doit avoir les matrix et les indicateurs de succès. Alors, ça sera un processus clair Et avant cela, on doit vraiment avoir les objectifs des équipes de révision. Alors, c'est juste... Et il y a aussi la question de délai et la période. Est-ce qu'on va atteindre les objectifs? Et parce qu'avec les critères, ça sera les objectifs de l'organisation. Alors, nous avons besoin de définir ces matrices et surtout avant de les donner les mandats. Et peut-être mon point de vue concernant le délai et le travail que j'ai déjà décrit dans les méthodologies. Et après avoir eu l'équipe, et à la fin de son mois, le premier travail, c'est commencer avec les délibérations sur les termes de référence et la performance. Et cela va prendre un mois et la version provisoire va être publiée pour la révision par la communauté. Et on espère, et selon notre programme, que ces termes de référence et les matrices de performance seront validés. Et avant la réunion de Brussels, ou pendant cette réunion de Brussels, mais vraiment avec une période d'engagement avec la communauté. Alors ça, c'est le travail de l'équipe, c'est engager la communauté pour avoir ces matrices. Alors ça, ce n'est pas pour déterminer l'organisation, parce que toujours les organisations ont leur plan stratégique et l'équipe vont considérer la redevabilité et la transparence. Et je vous assure que notre intention, c'est l'effort communautaire pour définir les matrices de performance ou les objectifs. Alors, dans d'autres organisations, si vous avez une discussion avec la direction à la fin de l'année et l'équipe de review arrive et détermine les termes de référence, à ce moment-là, il y aura des problèmes. Ça va poser un problème parce qu'en janvier, on va parler des mesures à être utilisées. Alors, l'organisation va être jugée et sans objectif ou sans établissement de l'objectif. Ok, je suis d'accord et moi et toi, nous avons discuté concernant cet aspect et on détermine toujours tout cela. Alors, c'est ma préoccupation, c'est avoir une équipe de révision et à l'autre côté, nous avons des personnes. Et l'argument, et on doit vraiment, si on travaille en avance, nous serons accusés. Et alors là, nous devons avoir une façon communautaire d'établir les matrices et l'équipe va appliquer cela. Alors, nous devons avoir l'équipe et faire démarrer le processus avant de vraiment commencer le processus. Alors, en octobre, on doit avoir établi les matrices en avril. Alors, quels seront les termes de ce jugement d'évaluation? Et la question de transparence, c'est un agenda de ICANN pour 2 années et nous avons eu les délibérations concernant ce sujet et concernant cette question de redevabilité et transparence. Et il y avait une résolution concernant cela. Alors, dans ce cas, il y a quelque chose à être les outils d'évaluation. Ok, je suis d'accord et je manque cela. Alors, Nous continuons maintenant avec la ligne. Il y a deux choses. OK. J'ai deux commentaires et de chat de bavardeur. Il y a deux personnes ici. Je m'excuse. Alors, nous allons travailler jusqu'à 15h30. Christine Rosa, et merci pour la réponse à ma question, mais ma suggestion pour les autres équipes, et on peut publier et avoir les volontaires potentiels. Et peut-être d'utiliser le média et surtout pour la communication plan pour cette stratégie. Alors, nous cherchons à attendre les membres de la communauté. Stéphane, merci. Et un groupe de parties prenantes. J'aimerais juste éclaircir des éclaircissements. C'est juste le premier pas de processus et il y aura les autres revues et processus c'est juste pour dire que cela nous défie beaucoup et surtout dans nos groupes pour travailler dans ce processus et surtout avec les délais et surtout pour endorser les candidats. Et j'aimerais vous demander de considérer dans l'avenir et surtout quand on parle des registres, nous prenons quelques jours accordés à nous pour réunir nos membres et aussi et produire les résultats pour le conseil. Ça, c'est un défi. Et peut-être, vous avez eu beaucoup de travail. Alors, merci pour cela. Et alors, sans laisser à côté de confidentialité, il y a les difficultés en termes de délai. Merci. Alors, Aïcha était là. Merci, Aïcha, Anas. Et premièrement, les membres de SEC et surtout les membres de mon organisation sont intéressés de cette première vision. Alors, le commentaire de Christina concernant améliorer, je pense qu'on va avoir les résultats de cela, et surtout concernant les sections de... etc. Alors... Vous avez une situation très difficile et j'aimerais juste commenter que concernant l'équilibre, etc. D'après nous, les intérêts des affaires d'expertise dans les équipes de révision, quand nous considérons le CBI, nous ne voyons pas seulement l'expertise individuelle. Alors, nous espérons que dans le processus de sélection, on va considérer combien des représentants GNSO aura des avantages de cette équipe. Et nous espérons qu'une compréhension générale, on aura une compréhension générale des membres sélectionnés. Et nous reconnaissons aussi les défis et à ce moment-là, même avec les délais, sont considérés la diversité dans le groupe sélectionné. Nous espérons que l'expertise sera considérée et et on doit compromettre et surtout pour l'avenir. Alors, je vous remercie pour la confirmation en ce qui concerne la sélection et nous allons avoir une occasion de commentaires. Alors, comment est-ce que vous considérez les commentaires du public? Comment est-ce que vous intégrez dans la composition finale? C'est une bonne question. Nous allons discuter ce soir. Merci. Alors ça, c'est ma réaction personnelle. Ça sera... alors, si on n'a rien qui ne fonctionne pas et surtout qui va avoir des impacts négatifs. Alors, nous allons avoir la sélection publiée, etc. Et nous allons avoir les commentaires publics qui vont aussi changer la composition du groupe. Alors, comme ça, nous allons avoir la réaction pour les équipes de l'avenir. Alors, si nous avons 8 juristes, alors, la communauté va peut-être dire que ça ne fonctionne pas comme ça. Alors, on n'espère pas avoir les processus multiples. Merci. OK, pour moi, dans ma communauté, on n'a pas compris cela. Nous n'étions pas sûrs de la réponse de cela. Alors, ça fait partie du processus d'apprentissage. Il y a aussi le commentaire public pour dire que la communauté doit être accordée une opportunité pour avoir les impacts.
Criteria.
Sur le critère dans la déclaration d'engagement, dans la paragraphe 9.1, il y a quelques points. Je voulais juste tirer votre attention et l'équipe de l'avenir. Ces trois mots de transparence, responsabilité, et ce sont des mots importants, un élément très important depuis la conception de ICANN. C'est la performance de ICANN sur ces trois critères. Le deuxième point, lorsque j'entends le mot maîtrise, il y a une importance de faire un équilibre, une évaluation quantitative et qualitative. Je pense l'évaluation et la perception dans la communauté. Si ICANN est transparente et responsable pour l'intérêt public, c'est l'élément le plus important de la révision. C'est très important que le processus incorpore non seulement les contributions, même les opportunités des interactions physiques dans les régions différentes, dans ces panels de révision pour recevoir les commentaires. Sinon, nous allons recevoir les commentaires publics où les gens vont dire les choses en parallèle. Donc, je pense que c'est très important d'avoir un équivalent. Ce que faisait la NTI lorsqu'il faisait la révision à la fin de chaque mémorandum d'attente, accord d'attente. Finalement, une question. Dans le ESI, un commentaire sur ce panel indiquant la possibilité d'avoir des experts externes. Pour le moment, on n'a pas ces experts externes. Et je voulais savoir si c'est possible de suggérer, parce que j'étais en contact la femme qui a gagné le prix Nobel de l'économie en 2005. Elle n'est pas disponible, mais elle m'a dirigé vers quelqu'un. Elle travaille son nom c'est Anna Ostrom. Et cette personne est se porte volontaire pour venir travailler. Je veux savoir si c'est on peut suggérer cette personne. Ouais, on a le temps. Ces experts vont être désignés à partir des listes des volontaires dans la communauté. Passez-nous ce nom. C'est une excellente suggestion. Oui. Un commentaire, Eric Bruno-Williams. Je sais que le commentaire public, je ne vais pas répéter. L'intérêt public a été soulevé dans le format de discussion. Deux membres du comité ont essayé de définir ce que ça veut dire l'intérêt public. On n'est pas arrivé à un consensus. Je suis tout à fait d'accord. Moi, je pense qu'il faut équilibrer les éléments différents des pays différents sur la question de l'intérêt public. S'il s'agit des noms de domaine, c'est tout ce dont l'intérêt public, c'est notre travail, c'est de faire un équilibre. Cet équilibre va être différent selon... Donc, j'ai entendu, je sais que c'est un débat intéressant. C'est un sujet qu'on peut discuter en parallèle. Mais ce qu'on veut parler, c'est la mission de ICANN. Les ressources qu'elle dispose pour défendre l'intérêt public. C'est ça la mission c'est ça notre mission. Je vais juste clarifier. La période de commentaires, c'est possible pour nous de vous passer les noms pour considération, pour les experts externes. Est-ce que c'est faisable? B3 a une idée. Est-ce qu'on peut vous passer les noms? Oui, tout à fait. Vous pouvez nous passer les noms avant de faire l'annonce. On va formuler un processus. Je peux dire... Ce que je voulais savoir, c'est le soutien. Rob est très intéressé. C'est-à-dire qu'on veut que ça soit un processus de comité. Et comment ces commissions d'études pour l'intérêt public, est-ce que c'est un petit peu ambigu? Et c'est très important que ces équipes, pour votre information, je vais partager avec une définition que j'ai trouvée. L'intérêt public est supposé ce que l'homme a choisi s'il réfléchit d'une façon rationnelle et d'une façon bénévole. Moi, je pense c'est depuis l'époque de Titanic. Est-ce que je peux revenir sur la question sur le soutien du personnel pour ces équipes de révision? Les allégations, c'est que le personnel font beaucoup de travail. Rédiger les rapports, la recherche... Est-ce qu'il faut peut-être créer un secrétariat indépendant? Est-ce qu'il faut signer des contrats avec les acteurs indépendants? Alors, moi j'ai peur. Est-ce que vous pouvez m'aider, Marin Kay? Je suis présidente de la circonscription des affaires, mais je parle à ma titre personnel. Je respecte le travail du personnel de ICANN et tous les efforts qu'il déploie pour être neutre et efficace et d'éviter c'est-à-dire de la communauté, c'est que beaucoup de gens considèrent ceci comme du lobby, une plaidoyer. Je pense que la communauté cherche à partager ses idées, ses informations, et qui pensent qu'ils sont ajoutés, enfin, de la compréhension pour le personnel. On peut utiliser le staff ICANN s'ils ont du temps pour le travail. Ou on peut trouver une approche pour cette équipe de révision et voir combien de temps que nous avons pour ce processus. Et avec les, je veux dire, c'est possible que les membres de la communauté vont se sentir qualifiés de faire ce travail. Donc, ça doit être une condition qui ne signe pas un autre contrat ou participer dans d'autres demandes de registres ou d'autres services et de signer un contrat à titre indépendant. Je vais faire, vous avez dit tout à l'heure, il va y avoir une transparence, ça va nous aider beaucoup. Merci beaucoup. Ça, c'est une bonne question. La procédure qu'on va suivre, voilà. Est-ce qu'il y a quelqu'un d'autre avec un commentaire? Bon. Il y a d'autres questions?
We're close to the end of our time. Any...
S'il n'y a pas d'autres questions, commentaires, nous vous remercions. C'est la fin de la session. Et on va... Merci beaucoup de votre participation. Merci.